Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
The producers of this podcast recognise the traditional owners of the land on which it's recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal elders past, present and those emerging.
Teenager.
Hi, welcome to Mean Ages, the podcast all about what it means to be a teen and how we can help our teenagers become the incredible people they are destined to be. I'm Madeline West, mother of six. Got no clues at all whatsoever, so don't ask me, but I am here with someone who's quite the specialist, Angela Murray, psychologist, school counsellor, with special interest in adolescent mental health. How are you today, Ange?
I'm great. Thanks, Madeline.
We've got a question from one of our listeners, which is more pertinent now, perhaps than ever before, when there is so much uncertainty in the world. Let's take a listen.
Hi there. I'm really worried because my teenager has really bad anxiety and I'm not quite sure how to deal with it. I don't know whether to pay attention to it or let him sort it out for himself with his friends. I don't want to be too intrusive, but I can tell that he's really struggling with anxiety at the moment, and I wondered if you had any advice.
Well, there you go. Let's jump straight into it. For parents out there whose teens they suspect are suffering from anxiety or might actually have a diagnosis of anxiety, what does that mean diagnostically?
Well, they're quite, I guess, a big difference between diagnostic terms in the DSM, which is our diagnostic statistical manual that we go to when really getting up there. But in terms of anxiety, it's everywhere. It's every day. We all experience. Mm. It's really normal. And without it, we'd all be dead.
So why? Why do we suffer anxiety? It's so crippling. Well, it can be so crippling. Why do we suffer anxiety?
Well, it's interesting you use the word suffer. We don't suffer anxiety, we experience anxiety.
Ah.
It's just another one of the eight basic emotions that all humans experience, and it's wired into us to keep our species alive. However, imagine that you're in a meeting with all your colleagues and there's a really overzealous one that mm-hmm. constantly puts their hand up, answers all the questions before it's finished asked, and yells over other people while they're speaking. Sometimes anxiety can become that overzealous colleague. It can become the voice in our head that is the loudest, that is the most enthusiastic, the most convincing, and it's because it wants to keep us safe so much and it works so hard. But sometimes that stops us from being able to live. And that's an extreme anxiety, but when it's mild, it's still, that's what it's there to do. It's to notice the things that aren't safe for us. And
it provokes our fight or flight response, which is one of our most instinctive mechanisms.
Yeah.
But at what point in your teen do you know you need to get help?
Okay, so anxiety can look like a lot of things in teens. It can be sleeping behaviours can change, eating behaviours can change, school refusal, the what if questions, you know, the ones where your teenager's like,
catastrophizing.
But what if? Mm. But what if? But what if? And no matter what answer you give, they come back with another what if. Because the uncertainty becomes unmanageable.
Mm.
It can look like anger and agitation when it's too much and they're not comfortable with the anxiety. And anger can be a secondary emotion that we overlay over ones we're not comfortable experiencing. So it can come out that way. If you're trying to force a child to do something, they might go into a rage attack and just you feel like they're unruly and obliterating you.
Do they manifest differently between boys and girls?
Talking specifically about teens, anxiety becomes far more prevalent in teenagers because of the way that they're developing. It's not one of the most common diagnosed mental health problems in childhood, but once we get to teens, it becomes a really prevalent diagnostic problem. Like, it gets to the clinically significant level. And it's because teenagers are relational species, and a lot of the anxiety becomes to how we relate to the world. And we start seeing ourselves differently in the world, and we start seeing how we're different to others. And so naturally, boys are less likely to experience high level of anxiety than girls, because girls are naturally more relational than boys. This isn't me just being sexist. This is study after study has shown. And that's not to say that boys aren't relational. Some boys will be, and some boys will be highly anxious. But the trend is girls relate to other girls on a really different and intimate level, which therefore involves more risk and more anxiety.
Ah, so that very common theme, which I hear myself at home, that I haven't been invited to the party, she's not talking to me, why is she being mean to me, why is she ignoring me? And it can become quite a loop. At what point does that become dangerous, though? What should you look out for as a parent to know, okay, I think we need to step this up and get some help?
Well, you go through all the symptoms of anxiety, and they're all on continuums. So in and of themselves, none of the specific symptoms indicate that you need to get external help. They all indicate anxiety. It's once they get to a point where they're impacting the teen's functioning. Most kids are a bit nervous about getting poor school results. Not all, but most teenagers, when it comes to exam times, get anxious. If your child can't sleep, if they're having a panic attack on the way to school, if they're crying and saying things like, I'm never going to go to uni because I'm so bad at school, and they stop wanting to go to school, or they lay in bed all day, that is an impact on functioning. If they're having panic attacks, if they're avoiding their schoolwork, if they're avoiding school, they're staying in bed, if they're not contacting their friends, that is a sign that we've got something that needs to be looked at. And I want to let parents know that you don't ever have to be the mental health professional. You are the mum, or you are the dad. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to be a psychologist. You just have to be a parent. Stick to what you're good at.
And we feel compelled as parents to solve it. Is that conducive to helping your teen to buy into it, or is there a better way to deal with anxiety, with what makes them scared?
One of the number one things not to do is fix it.
Oh, bugger.
Well, anyone who listened to week one, we talked about open communication and we talked about active listening.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, they don't want you to fix it. They want to sit and they want to talk to you, and they want to get the emotional part out of their bodies. What happens in anxiety is that we become extremely emotional. The emotion comes up, and as the emotion comes up, our intelligence or intellect goes down.
Damn. Worst possible time.
How many times have you had an emotional discussion and left going, that is totally not what I wanted to say? And it's the same with our kids. If they're in a deep emotional state, they're not able to come up with their own solutions. They're not able to see that what they're worrying about isn't a tiger. All they can feel is that their body is prepared to fight that tiger or run away from that tiger really, really fast. And that is the main focus.
So us saying,
don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's okay. It'll be fine. Not helpful for our teen. What we need to do is say, oh, this sounds really hard. This sounds really difficult. Tell me what's happening. You can sort of guide them a little bit towards finding some safety in their world. But if you overlay your solution or your safety, it's not their solution or their safety.
Yeah. And so us saying, well, that tiger's not that scary isn't very helpful.
No. I'd love to say to my kids, to the adolescents at school, it's just a kitten. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Don't even worry about it. But You cannot reason with someone in an anxious response. You cannot yell them out or bully them out of their anxious response.
It's just going to heighten it and make it worse because you're not dealing with the core issue.
We want the alarm to go off, which is their body alarm. We want their body alarm off.
So change of environment, change of action.
Yep, you can get them up, you can get them moving, you can get them breathing. Give them something to do with their hands, like, oh, do you want to just come and help me make this while we talk about it?
Yeah.
You know, do you want to help? Should we go feed the dog? So we're moving the body or we're changing the physical state by using breath. If you've got an anxious teen and it's repetitious but not clinically significant, like it's really not collapsing them and causing panic, you can have a conversation with them when they're not panicked. Do not have the conversations you need to have with your teens in the moment for the first time when that conversation is needed. It is going to sabotage the future conversation, for one. You'll have to work a lot harder to have the conversation. And it's never going to get you the outcome that you want. So we have that conversation separately. Thoughts aren't real.
Mm.
And that's what we want to get our kids to understand more than anything. We have thoughts. We all do. Parents, children, we all have them. But what they are is just thoughts.
Mm.
And we can have a different thought. But they feel real. They aren't real, but they feel real. If we tell our children that they don't feel real, then they'll feel dismissed. So we empathize with the fact, I get that when you think that, it would feel really scary when you believe that's true. So it's naming the thought. It's not saying, oh, that would be horrible if that happened.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, if that thought was true. So it's starting to use language in which we just name it as a thought. What thought are you having? What's that worry thought that's making you feel so frightened? It's what are you thinking will happen next?
Mm.
Yeah, using the thought and thinking word just so they start to understand that it isn't reality just because they can picture it.
So what do you do, though, when that thought is starting to manifest as a reality, i.e. when we go into the realm of eating disorders, self-harm, aggression that is becoming socially unacceptable, when it actually becomes a problem?
Once the anxiety gets to a level where you're feeling out of control, you need to accept as a parent, I'm feeling out of control. This is a really difficult thing to do as a parent because what we think that we need to be able to do is handle everything on our own.
Of course. But when you hit that point where you know, I can't handle this anymore, I don't know that I can really help my child with their anxiety, what's your first port of call?
So where you go is your GP.
Your GP.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go to your doctor and you talk to your doctor about it and what they can give you is a mental health care plan.
So what's a mental health care plan?
So what that gives you access to originally is 6 sessions with a psychologist. That gives you rebated 6 sessions. So then they will also give you some ideas of names in the area that work with teens. And ideally the psychologist will work with you and the teen to create a way to manage the anxiety because it's not going anywhere.
No.
We don't heal or cure anxiety. We learn to accept and manage.
And live with it.
And live. We don't know exactly why, but there's a lot of theories about why it's more prevalent in some than others. But at the end of the day, the why isn't as important as the where do we go to from here?
Yeah.
Because it is.
And how do we live with it?
And how do we live with it? And how do I help my teen see that they're normal, see that they're not broken and that they can cope too?
Access to good psychological help is more difficult than ever. Waiting lists are between 6 weeks and 6 months to get someone in. What do you do if you identify that your teen is really on the precipice, that their mental health is really suffering and you can't get in straight away, that there is a cue?
Well, still go to your GP first,
yep.
First and foremost. But most schools have a school counsellor.
Ah.
Most of those counsellors are either psychologists or social workers trained in counselling, and they have a special interest in adolescents. They also have access to the information about your child's school behaviours, through teachers, through the welfare team of your school. So you can work with the counsellor as well. They'll give you time on the phone and they will have access to the information about which psychologist in the area is more suited to you or your teen. And if there really is no one, because there is, as you say, a huge crisis and there might be some waiting lists, it's not failing to let your child have another adult in their lives who is a support, whether it's an aunt, whether it's one of your friends, whether it's just another person, an uncle, their grandmother, their grandfather, who's in their lives, who can be a voice that can hear them without having the big emotional response that you do.
Yeah.
Just someone else to talk to that's not as invested in their recovery. Someone who has life experience, who loves them,
yeah,
and who can see them and hear them. But also what can help with teens and their anxiety, just like with adults, is their capacity to manage their emotions, which we know increases their anxiety. And if they can regulate their emotions, it's likely they'll come up with solutions or have smart thoughts. So we step back and go, what helps humans to be better at regulating their emotions? And we come back to the foundational stuff. We come back to, are they getting enough sleep? Are they going to bed at the right time? Are they eating enough food? Are they getting any exercise? Are they getting outside? Exercise helps the body process the stress and anxiety hormones. And a little bit divergent here, I've just sort of realized something that's probably needs to be incorporated in the parenting of an anxious teen is that three of the things that really grow anxiety that we do out of our deepest love and care for our child.
Yeah, and so we want to hear, what are the causes?
Well, these are the things we do that help it escalate and perpetuate it. And that is, we reassure our child. We let them, or we information seek for them. Say if they're worried about a pain in their stomach being some deadly disease, we'll get on the internet with them and start looking up.
Oh, Google doctor. Oh, God.
Yeah. So information seeking increases anxiety, and also avoidance.
Avoidance by not talking about it.
Not talking about it, even talking about the feeling, trying to make it go away rather than let it be there.
Yeah.
Because like all the emotions, anxiety will peak and then it will pass. And you trusting that as a parent, that your child's anxiety will peak and that that emotion can't hurt them. If you protect them from that peak gets bigger and bigger.
And all of a sudden it's an emotional Everest.
And then it starts getting wider and it starts globalizing across behaviors. It's not just this I'm scared of anymore. Once the peak gets so big, it starts going, well, now I'm scared of this and this and this. So as hard as it is not to as a parent, it's so difficult not to say, it's going to be fine, don't worry about it, everything's good. What we need to say is, it looks like it's scary, you know, it looks like you're really overwhelmed and that must be a really difficult feeling to have in your body.
And I'm here with you.
Yeah.
So tell me how you feel. We'll be back next week with more Meanagers, but you can keep the conversation going by joining us on Instagram. We're Meanagers Podcast. You'll find a link in the show notes and in our bio to help you leave a voice message about your Meanager troubles so you can be part of the show.
This has been another Smart Fella production in conjunction with the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.